That's a bad joke.
Cool. Clear, refreshing water. Did you shake it? Oh, okay. There we go. Thank you, man. We are. I believe in all the church service, we worship God. I believe from the time that you walk in, from the time that you get out of your car, from the time that you come to the front doors of the sanctuary, from the time that you see another brother or sister, and you within your heart, you start to smile. And I know there are things that people are going through. I know that there are challenges that we have within our body, challenges we have within our life. I know that there's trouble. But I also know that I serve a God. Through nothing that I deserve, through nothing that I have on my own earned, He loves me and He loves you. And when you come together and we feel His Spirit leading, guiding us, directing us, when we are simply in His midst, I just love that. Because the laughter is laughter from truth. Tears are from things that just touch our hearts. We were trying to sing. We finished a song dedicated to Craig and Lydia, and Lydia's tears were just flowing. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to have people within your midst that God has allowed to bring into your pathway of life. And each one of you I could bring here, I could sit on the front pew, and you are loved. Some years ago, I played golf with an individual and got to ride in the same cart with this young man. We talked and chatted a bit, and within 6 months, sadly, he'd taken his own life. And so many times I went back in my own mind and heart and went, God, what could I have said differently? What subject could I have brought up? Did I listen to the right things? You know how you just, things happen and you question. I believe that it is our responsibility to be involved in the life of others. I believe that God, although He, through His richness, He saves you, He gives you that eternal life. I think also with that comes a responsibility. And that responsibility is to others. I believe that you, we're all wise enough, we're all old enough to realize what is really important. At times, I've had conversations with people that were very difficult. The first time, when Don Hartzell, he and his wife called me and said, "Would you go visit my daughter?" And I walked into that hospital on a Sunday afternoon. In the first 60 seconds, she told me that they have given me no chance to live. No chance to leave this hospital. That's how the conversation began. At different times, I've had individuals come to me and said, "Charlie, can we have a conversation about things I would like done when I leave this world?" Barbara Dee, when she first got off the plane in Dulles Airport, because of the encouragement of her daughter to come for treatment here, she had sold all of her items. I know because she asked me to go find her other items. She prepared and set up the plan for her funeral. And that's when she got off the plane coming here. God granted her prayer so that she would live to see her grandson born. And the time that she had to spend. If you knew you only had a certain amount of time left, what would you talk about? As we came into the practice the other week, and Brother Joe Klein, he was, I don't know if it was the ear, with the chest, the eyes. He's a running example of any medical item, procedure, one done, come see Joe Klein. And I said, well, Joe, at least the doctor didn't give you the result that I heard one doctor give. About the man walked in and said, we started to tell him how much. He said, well, Doc, how much time do I have left? And he said, 10. And he says, you know, he says, what, 10 months, 10 weeks? And the doctor said, 9, 8. It wasn't one of those situations. But if he were told you only had a certain amount of time to left, what would you do? What conversation would you say? What I'm going to talk about in the month of June is a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples when he knew that the end was near. That night, he'd sat at that table. They'd all eaten together. And he made statements that they simply didn't understand. He made statements like, one of you will betray me. It is already done. He turned to Peter. He said, you will deny me 3 times. Frank, I get you water, but I don't know if we have another thawed one out there, but if we'll find one. There's one right there. It's Janet's bringing it to you over there. We see who is special in this church. Before that rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter, no, it can't be. It cannot be. He sat at that table and he told them things that to them were simply unbelievable. He, as a servant, washed their feet. And afterwards, they left and they walked through those small streets. And he stopped by a vineyard. And he taught them. And he, in his wisdom, just hours before he would be taken, he tried to share with them the truth. John, the 15th chapter. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The 5th verse, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word. For just a few minutes, God, let us just focus on the truth that you have for each one of us. Open our hearts, open our minds, so we receive that special gift for each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In the month of June, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the vine. First of all, we have to understand those principles that he speaks of here. First of all, who is the vine? Jesus. Good. Those of you who are awake, Jesus. Now, who's the vine dresser? It says the Father. You and I are the branches. And the point of this story is that we bear fruit. The question we'll just go into just briefly today is, what is fruit? Many times this has been preached upon about expanding and numbers and churches growing, but I believe that this fruit is much more than just the addition of numbers. It is your quality of your walk with God. In the first Psalm, the third verse, like a tree planted by the water that brings forth its fruit in season. A tree planted by the water that brings forth its fruit in season. Whose leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. I trust that each and every one of you want to have a better walk with Jesus. I trust that each and every one of you just want more of him in your life. And I believe that God wants that same thing for you. We have difficulties. I read about, wow, look at all the stuff I've got all over me. This is the last service. You'll probably see me in a jacket, hopefully this summer if it turns warm. Need to get it clean. I read about Notre Dame football coach Lou Holtz, and I've heard him many times on the television, and he was asked to speak at a sales meeting for the Western Insurance Company. And he started out by telling them about the good times, the bad times. He says, you know, he says, I have been on top and I've been on the bottom. He said, at Arkansas, my first year, we won the Orange Bowl. Everybody loved me. They put me into the Arkansas Hall of Fame and issued a commemorative stamp in my honor. The next year, we lost to Texas. And they had to take away the stamp because people kept spitting on the wrong side of the stamp. You know how those folks are down there about their football. He said, one year I tried to sell cemetery plots for a living. And everybody, including my wife, told me that I just couldn't sell, and I proved them wrong, because that year we sold our car, we sold our television, we sold our stereo. He says, I was quite the salesman. We have struggles within our life. Where do you get sermon material? I remember that little Peanuts comic strip, you know. And Lucy's sitting there with her big psychiatry board on there, you know, with a nickel, and Charlie Brown comes and he says, you know, I have questions about life and questions about my life. He said, I don't know whether this is something special or I'm just a pilot in a TV series. Whether it's just 39 episodes or is my life really special? And she quickly answers him. She says, well, I don't know the answer, but your ratings are down. That'll be 5 cents. Yesterday, I had a conversation. After we sang, and I listened. One of our church members here had been questioned by another church member about whether or not they sang. It was actually asked of a relative. And he was asked, you have a family member that stands up front and leads the congregation, he's singing, do you sing also? And the response was, I sing good, but people that hear me disagree. Fruit. Fruit is not what we think it is. Fruit is not the things in our life that we put great value in. Fruit is what God puts a great value in. God knows what is best for your life. He knows what is best for my life. He knows the things that are just so important. We get caught up in stuff, folks. We get caught up in things that just really, when it comes down to it, they don't matter that much. It doesn't matter about how you sing or how well you sing. What matters is if you simply enjoy singing. So if you can figure out who I'm talking about, you praise him on his singing. You look up to him and praise him on his singing. We're going to talk about fruit. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about the Father and his job of pruning. And we've all been through that pruning. And we're going to talk about the things that hopefully will bring better fulfillment in our lives so that we can be better servants for him. Amen? Amen. Now, in just a moment, we're going to serve communion. This is a wonderful place to start. It's a wonderful place to just say, God, I begin by thanking you what you did for me. I think that it's the perfect way to begin our study. Amen? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, at this time, God, you've been so good to us today. You've given us laughter. You've given us tears. I believe you've touched each and every one of our hearts. We thank you for that today, Heavenly Father. Now give us an opportunity, as you tell us within your word, that after these items were blessed, we have that opportunity to thank you for the wafer broken, which represents the body, the small cup of juice representing the blood. We do this in remembrance of you, thanking you what you did for us so many years ago. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen.